Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
This episode is brought to you by Generate Life Sciences, and we are very excited to have them on board because they're making babies and making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Be sure.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Hi, Robin.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, my God. We just finished a record, and it was such a weird. Jamie and I were in a bad mood before, and now we're not. It was, like, so delightful.
I know. We interviewed someone, and they put us in such a wonderful mood. So thanks for that. You'll hear that episode shortly. But Robin, what do we want to talk about before we introduce our fabulous guests?
Our guests for today are so good. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, I'm not sure everybody knows, we started, in addition to the podcast, we now have a live stream that's every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. It airs on YouTube, which you should subscribe to us on YouTube if you aren't, and on Facebook. And then all the recordings of the live streams live on our YouTube page. And we've been having so much fun with the live streams lately.
It's basically like an extra episode in the week, kind of.
But it's different.
It's a little different. It's a lot more of Robin and I and us just bantering back and forth. Why wouldn't you want that? It's a lot of that. I mean, some episodes are just Robin and I bantering about hot topics and things that are happening. And then a lot of times we'll bring in a special guest, just kind of like the podcast, but we've kind of broadened it up. So it's not only centered on LGBTQ families. It's other topics as well that fit within the queer spectrum, basically. Mm-hmm. Did I explain that well?
Pop culture, you did. You did a great job with that.
Thank you.
Well done. And then sometimes we have guests, like this past week, we had this incredible woman named Eloise. And
oh my God.
She told us, which I didn't know, she's the only Black woman who owns and operates a surrogacy agency. It's in the Atlanta area and it's called Family Inception. But she also hosts a podcast called Fertility Cafe.
And her mission is kind of just to help people navigate fertility and surrogacy and all things related.
And she donated her eggs 6 times. She was a surrogate 3 times. And she even donated a kidney. Like she's just that
woman.
Kind of lady.
She's but a we had wonderful her on, woman.
And we had this really, I wouldn't use the word intense because it was intense to me means like adversarial,
angry.
But more in depth than like really deep conversation about women of color and infertility. And it was such a great conversation. So
yeah.
Go check that out if you want an introduction to our live streams. It was so fun.
It was a really great episode. We really got deep into it with Eloise. We love her. I think we're going to be on her podcast soon.
We sure are.
So go check out our live streams. They're really fun. And if you want something light and upbeat, there's an episode for everyone out there. Some of them are sillier than others.
But oh my God, we call the show that nobody asked for, which should really
asked.
Just, that tells you exactly what it is.
But we keep doing it. And
we
it's
sure
fun.
Do.
And you can interact with us. If you don't know what a live stream is, some people don't. My mother didn't. You watch it in time when we're doing it. So you can comment in the comments and we can all interact together, which makes it fun.
Yeah, I like that because I feel like there's some fans that come in regularly, listeners, and we get to chat with them. And it's so, and they're always like, hi, I'm back. And I love that.
It's a way to connect.
Yeah.
And Mama Sue is always there. So
And as soon as she comes, she's like, I'm here. Like every single time. And I love it. I love it. It doesn't matter what we're doing. Jamie stops what we're doing. Goes, hi, Mom.
Like I don't talk to her every day as it is. Anyway.
I know.
Oh, God. But anyway, guys, check out our live streams. They're really fun. Now, I think we have to talk about Patreon. If you don't support us on Patreon yet, go over there and support us on Patreon for as little as you can do, like even just a $2
a month. $2, yeah.
And you get just bonus content, extra things. We try to put a lot of stuff up there. The episode drops a day earlier, so you can, instead of on Monday, you can hear the episode on Sunday. There are videos of all the interviews, so there's perks there. And then some dumb videos of Robin and I, which happen a lot.
Yeah, patreon.com/ovariestalk.
And now let's talk about, oh my God, these guys.
Matt and Elliot. So we have been stalking these two since their story first came out in People magazine. And this is their words. Their story is very groundbreaking, but they also were telling us that it's boundary crossing and that they had no idea how many taboo topics that they were hitting just in having a baby.
Yeah. So you might have heard their story. First of all, these men are the loveliest men
Lovely.
On the face of the earth. They're also gorgeous. I want to be in their house and like hang out on the floor. And
I want them
tea.
To be my dads.
Yeah, well, there's that too. And they are dads.
It's probably
so
too late.
A good thing.
But yeah.
But anyway, so their story involves a sister donating an egg, a mother carrying a baby, and a family filled with love. And I think that's really all we need to say.
It is. Helen, just roll it.
She's been so quiet this whole time we've been together. She's been, and now.
She was asleep, Jamie. That's why.
That's what it is. She was asleep. Helen, you got to wake up.
I
know
it's a pandemic. I nudged her. All right. Hi, Matt and Elliot.
Hi.
Aren't they the cutest? You guys are the cutest.
Go. They really
smiles.
Are.
Thank you.
We need to let our listeners know who you are. So I think it is time. I think it's time for that elevator pitch from Matt and Elliot.
On your mark, get set, go.
Hi there. My name is Matthew Elledge.
And I'm Elliot Doherty.
And we are a gay couple in Nebraska. Oh, my God. It is stressful looking at the time. Okay. And so we have a very unusual origin story for our daughter. When we decided to do IVF and surrogacy, Elliot's sister was the egg donor for us. And then through a weird series of events, my very own 61-year-old mother was the gestational surrogate. I guess that's all the time we get pretty much.
Boom. Yeah. And she had her daughter. Yeah.
She had her daughter.
You did it.
You hit it with a little button there, Elliot. You put it right on the 3 second.
I was like, I'll use these 4 seconds.
You got it in there. And that's a lot. We got a lot of information. Wow.
So. Full disclosure, I started sending you guys, I started trying to find you like over a year ago, like when your story first broke in the press. And I was like, I was desperately like, I think I figured out, Elliot, you're a hairdresser. Did I make that up?
Nope,
I think I figured
correct.
That out at some point. But I found all this business on you, but then I could not find a way to get in touch with you. So I was like DMing you through socials, which was just like, I mean, it's like you might as well put the invite in a bottle and wing it out into like the ocean. And you guys reached out to us like a year later, so which I great. Loved.
Well, that's very much actually what I did to Elliot. I kind of ghosted him online when we first met. And then a year later, I was like, hey, do you want to do hair for a film? And then we never separated since then. But the same was with you. I think it was such a whirlwind because we were first time parents and then we were doing interviews all the time. And now things are more calmer and more relaxed. And we're
like, yeah, instead of like 15 minute, like really like hectic interviews, it's nice to like sit down yeah. and actually have like a dialogue about things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tell yeah, your full
your story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your story got some pickup, a lot of pickup.
It sure did. So like, tell us about it. Mm-hmm. How did you get there? Like how did you go from, I mean, just even one of these choices, like having Elliot's sister be the egg donor, that's a big choice in and of itself. So how did this all come together?
Yeah, take us to the beginning.
I think the way that we chose, when we decided we wanted to start our family, we had gone through some things with Matt's job. I guess you can tell them that.
Yeah, so I worked at a private Catholic school for 5 years. And then when we had made the decision to get married, they didn't like reinstate my contract. And so,
seriously?
And, you know, we live in Nebraska and yes. And I mean, it was a very traumatic, sad event, but also was a really cathartic, meaningful one because I'd been a speech teacher and had been teaching kids to use their voices to empower others and initiate change in the world. And so they actually protested the decision that the administration made. And so we originally made news that way.
I think I heard this story. You just make news everywhere you go.
So yeah, we did that. And we were just a little bit hesitant to navigate another system that may potentially, you know, discriminate against mm-hmm. us. And
we didn't
so,
want people to be yeah. able to tell us no. So yeah. we wanted to go a route where we had full control over all the variables.
Because adoption just became legal in Nebraska
for LGBTQ.
Like a couple of years prior.
For same-sex yeah. couples. Yeah. yeah.
And so we just were like, no, we want to put things in our own hands. And so we started saving and being really thrifty. Well, Elliot started teaching us to save and be thrifty. And that was just the beginning of like, okay, we're doing IVF, we're doing surrogacy. And we started to look at like egg donor sites. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to do that, but it's like both fascinating and terrifying. Mm-hmm. And it's just like no judgment at all to anyone that goes through egg donor sites. But we just felt
how
like
you even begin to choose, you know?
Yeah. And it felt yeah. really corporate.
It's like online shopping, but really intense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it was just like it surfaced so many unique questions where it's like, do you spend a lot of money for the perfect egg, you know, where that person has a certain IQ score or they went to a certain university or they look like a supermodel? And then even like questions of like ethnicity yeah. and race. It's like, I don't know. It was just so confusing. We're like, what do we do? How do we choose what we want our child to be? And so we were having those conversations and feeling overwhelmed over a brunch one morning with our family. And then Elliot's sister was like, oh, I'll do it.
Yeah, she just offered. We were just telling her like our fears and frustrations around having to make these decisions. And she's like, I'll do whatever you need
wow.
me to do in order to help you start your family. And we're like, all right, there we go. We have like a starting place.
Wow. And I think her husband That's like amazing. Choked on his egg casserole.
He's like, oh, he's like, we're going to need to have a talk about this.
Because we were all like, yeah, okay.
Jamie,
what?
I want to talk about sperm.
Okie dokie.
No, I want to talk about the special code that we have for folks who are ready to start the process of looking for a sperm donor. Mm-hmm. California Cryobank is offering our listeners a free level 2 donor information subscription for 90 days. Jamie, that's worth $145, and you know how I feel about a sale.
I mean, it's really great. I love this. So guys, this subscription is going to give you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos, and adult photos for some of the donors. Mm-hmm. Access to their medical histories, and you can read personal essays that they've written. Both of us went the sperm donor route, and there was no way I would have been able to make my decision were it not for all of those extras. Like, I needed all mm-hmm. of them. Everything I could get, I yep. paid for, you know?
Me too.
Yeah.
So as a listener, you're going to get 90 days with access to all the level 2 perks, and that is plenty of time for you to make a choice. I'm
yeah.
just saying.
Yeah,
get your binders in order.
Yeah, well, I didn't get binders, but yeah, okay. They also have this cool thing they do where they give you donor lookalikes, and that's available for donors without adult photos. So you can get an idea of what they look like as an adult. And this helps mm-hmm. personalize the experience of selecting a donor by providing examples of celebrities that resemble each donor.
Yes, I kicked someone out because they looked like Chris Martin. Oh, I'm not kidding. I was like, Chris Martin?
Yeah.
Anyway, California Cryobank has over 400 highly screened donors that represent over 90 different ancestries. So if you're ready to start building your family, you're going to head over to cryobank.com, open a free account, and use the code OCT to activate your free subscription today.
Yeah, and then tell us, because we want to know. That's cryobank.com, yes. CRYOBANK.com, and make those babies. And let us know if you pick your donor from this special deal, please.
Yes, yeah. We'd love to hear about that.
That would be great. That would make me feel so happy if we were able to help you.
Because we want to take credit for your children. Those babies.
So your sister was married. Did she have kids already?
Yep. So she had one son and she was pregnant with her second child.
Oh, wow.
When she offered.
Whoa. And actually, we don't really mention this that often, but before that, we actually had asked my sister to be an egg donor. That's what happened. We don't talk about that very often.
Yeah, and
was she all like,
and she was
no
uncomfortable
thanks?
With it because it was shocking at the time. And now in retrospect, it makes perfect sense. But yeah, we asked her and we kind of just like strangely assumed she'd say yes, because our family is the type of family. We just do everything for mm-hmm. each other. But yeah. We realized it really surfaced a lot of feelings for her because she is, I mean, we didn't understand the science, but she's closer to 40 and she's doesn't have children of her own. And so I think it made her feel really scared to do that because she wouldn't just see it as a selfless gift. She would see that as her child. And
it's great she honored that truth for herself, though. At the time, we were frustrated. But looking back, you're like, of course, if that is not something that you could do and feel comfortable with, like, thank God you, even though we were kind of putting some shame on her.
Well,
we're
I don't think we did that.
It was just like, it was hard for us, too, to hear no. Mm-hmm. So I think it was really a complex situation. So for her to, like, stand firm was,
I think, one of the challenging and fun things about being a gay couple is that you have to rely on so many people around you and it feels so vulnerable because like Ellie and I, we want to have those tough discussions with each other because we married each other. We chose to engage, but to have to ask your sister, you know, and then your mom and then his sister and then to hear his sister's husband. And we're all having to have these really tough conversations that we never anticipated to have. But yeah, we were, that's what, where we were at. It was, is that my sister was like, no, I'm not actually comfortable.
And we just didn't even think to ask my sister because she was like pregnant at the time, you know, and we weren't sure what her timeline was, but that seemed like, you know, we're going to get eggs anytime soon from her.
Right, kind of a big ask.
But she just kind of blurted. It was so intuitive for her. She's like, absolutely. And we're very intuitively responded like, oh my God, this huge sense of relief where it's like, there's no decision to be made. This is perfect. Like, we get to strangely have a genetic connection to our child, which we didn't really care that much about, but it was neat that it happened. And I think it was a way for Elliot's mother who had just passed away to kind of like, I don't know, you can explain that, I guess.
Yeah, more than like me feeling the need to like have, you know, my legacy carried on through this child, I really liked that like my mom, who had died from cancer 2 years before, would like, thank you, we'd be connected to my future daughter, you know, that meant more to me than having myself be connected to her.
Well, and Elliot and his sister have been best friends since they were little. So it was just kind of fun.
We still have such a close relationship. So for her to really stand by us and help us in any way she could really meant a lot too.
That's great.
Matt, after your sister said no, did that bring up any of the stuff like, what will the lines be like once Elliot, your sister said yes, like, did that be like, is this still the right way to go? Or were you just like, nope, none of that matters? You know what I mean? Like the lines of like aunt, mother, like all of that.
It's so interesting because I think we tend to get two different reactions from people because there are people that are just like, they have a really hard time wrapping their mind around it. And it's like, this is something you really need to think about. And this is, you know, what are the rules and what are the definitions and what are the guidelines and expectations? And then there are us on the other side that like live in la la land and it's like, it's all okay. Like, it's fine. And I just noticed like when I would ask people, I'm like, what's your take on that? And either people would kind of tense up and be like, whoa, you know, and want to kind of make it an analytical situation. And then there were others that were like, that's love, you know? And so for
people
us,
are always like, your sister's the mother. And I'm like, well, no, I'm the dad and my sister's the aunt. Like, if you want to get into like the biology.
Yeah, my sister's the egg donor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she just gave her egg. Like, you know.
We knew it was unconventional, but we didn't realize how many like taboos and how many different areas that we were making people either excited or uncomfortable. Right. That is one of them. It was like, people are like, what does this mean? Like, so she's biologically the mom and the grandma and people don't know. We've realized a lot of people don't know like basic surrogacy. They don't understand how like genetics work. So just like accusations of like incest and things like that was really shocking to hear. And I'm really grateful to have Elliot because he just never gets discouraged. Really, he'd always laugh at people's responses. And I was really sensitive.
Yeah, it's hard not to. And
then he really wanted people to get it. Yeah.
Yeah, because we just kind of thought like, oh, is this kind of a nice feel-good story about like a family coming together? And then we did not, I did not anticipate the trolls.
Well, because it doesn't stop there. You're also bringing your mom into the mix. And it's Matt, it's your mom, right?
Correct.
And so then there's the age. And then there's just this like, grandma, mom. It's like when you use those words, it can sound that way, but it's not. I feel like we had one guest who said, like, I just want people to stop and think for a second before they ask the question they're going to ask. And I think your situation is so perfect for that. Like the words on the top sound like different, but then like when you just like think it through, you're like, that's beautiful. Like this, the way you were able to make this, your family is so amazing. Like, your whole family contributed.
Absolutely. And for me, I love the questions because it is a really convoluted the situation. It really is. And for us, we were shocked to even, we'll get into it later, but we were shocked to even know that a 61-year-old could, we didn't even think that was a possibility. And so for us, like, I love the questions. It was more so people that would read kind of a clickbaity title and really, and just throw intense accusations without even reading an article.
People who just want to judge.
But we also,
right.
Yeah. And from a sociological standpoint, it's so fascinating because we realize that people still really dislike gay people. Yeah. And then we realize that.
Such a hard fact to swallow, isn't it? It's just such a, it's like, wait,
no,
what?
No, because I lose so many people.
I surround myself with only people that love me. So I'm like, that's the world that exists, you know? And then, so when you see things on like public domains, but you have the gay factor that I think people are thrown off by. You have the fact that his sister was the egg donor. So then you're looking at like different definitions of family roles. You have a 61-year-old individual that is giving a natural birth for her son, which is the other thing. Is people sometimes don't get weirded out by surrogate mothers for their daughters, but for their sons, I think it really freaks them out. So then you have these incestual taboos that people are tapping into. So in the end, I was like, whoa, we are really pretty radical because we didn't even think we were doing something that crazy. And now in retrospect, it was. But we've even gotten criticism from gay couples because I think.
Really?
I mean, it's just everywhere, you know, and I don't want to turn this into like, oh, poor us. Like in the end, it's really interesting for us to hear different people's reactions. But I think that the narrative that we see as gay couples are really wealthy, rich men that are like lawyers or doctors on the East or West Coast. And they pay for a surrogate, which, mind you, is so expensive. They pay for an egg donor. They fly in and out for the appointments. I mean, you're looking at outrageous numbers. And that's not what always like drove us.
150 to 200,000.
But it was certainly an influence. It was like, you know, I'm a teacher, a high school teacher. He's a hairstylist. We're not going to just like buy into that narrative of like take all of our cash. And so for us to rely on our family, it worked. Like emotionally and spiritually, but also financially, it was like, oh, this is great.
Can we ask, like, we know that the average like surrogacy when it's two gay men and they have to get an egg is between 150 and 200. Do you know what your ballpark was that you ended up paying?
We added it up. We think it's around 80,000.
But that's including the pregnancy wasn't covered by insurance. Oh. So that's including
nothing was covered
pregnancy
by insurance.
Because, yeah, we can get into that later too. But because she was a surrogate and Nebraska doesn't recognize surrogacy, her insurance was like, we won't be covering this pregnancy. So we had to pay out of pocket. And that's actually what ended up being a major expense.
That is expensive. Yeah. Well, we got to get into that.
Yeah. Well, because we live in Nebraska. So it's one of four states that does not recognize surrogacy. And so as my mom had offered to be the surrogate, insurance would argue, no, we can't cover because you're not biologically the birth mother. And then when she gave birth to the baby, the state said, no, you are biologically the birth mother. And they wouldn't recognize Elliot. And so then we had to pay legal fees. To
formally adopt Uma,
change the birth certificate so that it did recognize him as the parent.
Oh my God.
That's so fucked. Yeah, so fucked.
Just discrimination at every turn, basically.
Yeah, truly. So many hoops to jump through.
And it sounds like you guys went into this just with pure love in your hearts and were super excited about the process the entire time. And it's so shocking when people come at you with judgment. It's just insane, especially when you're coming at it from a place of such love. And I really love that. It sounds like you were pretty like go with the flow the entire time, because at first, Matt, you had asked your sister. And then when that didn't work out, you just switched who's going to be the genetic carrier for each side. which a lot of, you know, like a lot of couples we talk to, they know right off the bat, no, it's going to be my genetics. And, you know, and you guys kind of got them both. But even like,
yeah, you got both your genetics.
People even can be more be rigid about who's going to be the donor. And you know what I mean? Like, you just kind of went with it. Yeah. And this person offered this.
Yeah, we really just knew we wanted to be parents more than like we booked an appointment with an IVF doctor before we had anything thought of. We were just like, we want a baby. And we want to do IVF. And then we're like, so she was booked out for a couple months. So we're like, well, we'll just, you know, start to like put some feelers out there and see what happens. And
well, and I think that's what's fun about being a queer parent is that we're forced to be creative and that we start the journey knowing that a certain like narrative is not going to work for us anyway. So we're already thinking outside the box. Whereas I think so many straight couples, they have this idea of how they're going to build a family. And when it doesn't work, it's really hard. Right. Like it's crushing for them, you know? And so for us, it was kind of like a fun little game. I will mention though, it wasn't all fluffy sunshine because we never, ever anticipated my mom being the surrogate. That's what really threw us for a curveball. And we actually had a friend, she's in a married relationship with her partner, a lesbian relationship. And she was willing to be our surrogate and she was our age. And that's what we had planned to do, that we kind of call, like, we have this little queer family and we all kind of are in the process now of helping each other build our families and we all love each other. And so she was willing to be the surrogate and that felt so much safer and better and right. And it wasn't until we started to go to the IVF doctor and we really got kind of pushed in the direction that my mom would be the surrogate, which we never, ever, ever.
How did that happen? Can you tell us that? Like,
okay, yeah. So we had like one of our best friends and we were really excited to be able to build life with them because, like I mentioned, they're our queer family and you kind of, you know, you build those networks of people, I think, as a queer individual. And so we would go to Sunday brunches and we had this whole thing planned out that she would do this great act for free. And she was willing to, you know, pump and was just like totally in it. So it felt like this like big extended family. And then we started to go to the IVF specialist and our doctor was just like, the first thing that was a concern was that she'd never had a kid herself. And that's like a number one thing you want to do is because no matter where your health is at, birth is crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, I know it happens all the time, but it is really miraculous and it's really dangerous a lot of the times. And so you don't know how someone's going to respond. And then there were a couple other underlying health concerns that they had. And so she, our doctor was just very persistent and like, is there anybody else that would be able to do this? And she had done that a couple times. Wow. And then I just truly jokingly mentioned that my mom offered to do it. And I just did it to get like a reaction. Yeah. You have to meet this woman. Like, I can't even properly describe her because she's just like she needs to be on television.
Your mom
she's
or the doctor?
The IVF doctor. She's like very straightforward and she just like tells it like it is. And we love that about her. And she didn't laugh at all. And she's like, well, is she healthy? And I said, yes. And she said, does she have a uterus? And I was like, yes. So she's like, well, bring her in. She's like, it doesn't really mean much, but bring her in and we'll do some tests. And my mom did all of like 6 tests, cardio, mammogram, checking blood. I don't know, all the things that like, determine if you're healthy. And she kept passing them like way better than any of us. Like the ongoing joke was how much healthier she was than all of us. And she passed them all and all within like 3 weeks. Yeah. And then within that time, they were handing her a bag of progesterone.
We were like, we're going to like let her offer, let her like ride this to its natural end. And then we'll like,
I was secretly hoping it wouldn't work out. Like I really was because I thought it was radical and crazy. And even though
we're
the doctor,
just like, no way could she do this. Yeah.
And just emotionally, we had built up this family dream with our queer friends. And I just, the idea of putting our only mom that we have left at risk and we didn't want to be, you know, we don't want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for, you know what I mean? Like we just want to build a family. Yeah. And so we were just like, hopefully like a test will tell them like, no.
Right.
And then our doctor was like, that is your best candidate. That's
so there's no reason that she cannot be your surrogate.
Yeah.
I want to know how that conversation went after you were at the fertility doctor and she was like, well, does she have a uterus? Let's talk to her. How did that conversation with your mom go? Because you had already been like, no, mom, that's not happening.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, I remember calling that day. Yeah, and I remember calling and being like, I know you've offered, but do you actually mean that?
Like, are you serious? Yeah.
And there was this like spark of joy. Oh. It was like, she was like, yes.
Aww.
And it was almost just like, I don't know, my sister makes fun of me when I say this, but it's like her life had been building up to this moment because she's the most selfless individual. She's never stopped being a mom. And I think she's in that place where she's like, what's my life purpose right now? Like, what am I doing? And she'd spent her whole life exercising and running marathons. And now she's like, I can do this for my son. I can do this for his husband. And then she's like, yes. And then she looked at my dad and was like, oh, I guess I should ask you too. Is that okay? And they both were on board. And I think they were both really excited by the potential. And then when they got the go, it was like the second life. That's a really unique thing for them to be doing when most people are like retiring and
they're like going to retirement parties. And he's like, well, this is my pregnant wife.
Yeah, he had fun with that.
Well, he did. Honestly, he was embarrassing because my dad took such pride in it. I think my dad is a huge gay advocate.
Your parents.
Like, he's just, they're really good.
Keep going.
But my dad, he would take such pride in it. And he loved shocking like his conservative old friends. And they would be in public and he'd like find a friend and they'd, you know, everyone runs into everyone here in Nebraska. And he'd be like, hey, George, guess what? My wife's pregnant. And then he'd watch them react. He'd be like, and with my son's baby. And
your mom would be mortified. She'd be
mortified because he'd provide no context. And they literally didn't know what to do because at first they're like, this is a really sad, weird joke. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, this is a thing that's happening. And so, but I think it really brought them a lot of love. And my dad worked, he was an educator and he worked all throughout my mom's pregnancy. So this is the first pregnancy where he got to be there the whole time.
So it was a journal the whole time.
Yeah, he journaled every appointment we went to. So he made a journal for us at the end.
Aww.
But it was like this special weird journey because from then on out, every appointment, it was my mom, 60 years old at the time, 59, I guess, for some of it. Me and Elliot, these younger gay boys. And then my dad, who's 67. And then they'd say our name and all four of us would get up and walk in and everyone would be like, what is the situation?
We would really be confused. Yeah.
I can't imagine a world where your kid is not their favorite grandkid because that's a lot.
You know what though? Good for your dad for being so on board and like, especially his generation is a totally different generation.
Yeah. I mean, and you talk about the generational things, like that was what was so interesting is their way of doing pregnancy is so different than how we would do pregnancy.
Yeah.
And so we're like, we want to do like this new age spiritual, like we wanted to get a doula. And my mom is just like, no.
We actually met with the doula and she was like, you guys can we're have not. That. But
she's like, if you need a doula, you can have a doula, but I don't need a doula. And then like, just like, and also things like she's so healthy. So we would feel conflicted trying to tell her what to do, but then it'd be like, maybe let us buy you organic produce. Like, let's not, you know, and for them, like, I think it was just different time.
Yeah.
And it was it is so a pretty comedic journey.
She's like, just I can like have seeing this glass of wine, Matt.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't wine, but she does love coffee. Like, she survives off of a handful of M&Ms and coffee. Yeah. And
you're like first time parent. So you were like, could you put it down?
I mean, it's this really weird thing where it's like, one, we're so lucky that we could do it with a family member so you could have these candid conversations and joke about him and maybe, you know, and ask, like, what are you eating? But then at the same time, like, it's such a weird thing because that's our child, but it's still her body, you know? And so I think gay men having babies, it merges all these different values because from a feminist perspective, who are we to tell her how she should do this. You know what I mean?
Also, she's given birth to but how many kids same already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Three.
But right.
She's given birth to you. Yeah. Like, if I were her, I would be like, did it work okay for you? Okay, butt out.
So I know, but I'm gay and I know everything.
Right, of course. Don't we all? You know what's interesting also is other couples we've talked to who've used surrogacy, they do talk about this feeling of absence. Because like you said, a lot of these couples, they have to, their surrogate is in a different state. So they have to fly to the appointments. They don't get to go to all of them. And they're not with their surrogate during most of the pregnancy. And so you have a really unique experience in that. I mean, A, she was your mom, but also you were with her, which a lot of couples don't get. They don't get that.
Yeah. I mean, we got to do everything that, you know, every other straight couple traditionally would be able to do. Like, you know, we had a really funny experience of figuring out that she was pregnant through a pregnancy test. And like you said, all the appointments and seeing the pictures and just conversations. Like, we, you know, we're not religious, but we do like believe in this spiritual creation and to be able to have meaningful chats of what this means about ourselves and our life, and for Uma, our child at the time, you know, to be in utero while that's happening. And yeah, it felt really strangely natural and beautiful and fun. It was just fun because it is a really fun process.
It was definitely fun, but also at the time, you know, Matt was really stressed because, you know, he trusted our doctor, but it's his mom and our daughter. And if anything happened,
I can imagine,
you know, that we would not only, you know, be losing our child, but could really impact your mom's health. And so I think the whole time it was like really an emotional journey. We were so excited, but also we were like, this is like, our doctor was like, there's no book on a 60-year-old being pregnant. Like, we are in uncharted territory and we're kind of writing the book right now. So it was definitely vulnerable moving through that too. But your mom had this strange, powerful confidence, and it was really cool to see her come into her power.
She had no worries. It was, and she's the like such a warrior. And so it really did feel like this divine intervention. And she just like did it so confidently, like a champ, and wasn't nervous at all. And I'd never seen such a confidence from her ever in my life.
I want to know about the process of getting pregnant. Was it easy? Did it take a couple tries?
It was really
my
easy.
My sister's eggs were really easy. Excellent, you know, so.
She did so, one so egg
she
retrieval.
She gave birth to her son. And at that point we were, you know, waiting for Matt's sperm to come out of quarantine anyway. So we retrieved how many eggs from her?
We retrieved 24 eggs, went down to 16 that were viable. Then 7 made it to the blastocyst phase. And then we did do what's called PGS, or pre-genetic screening, I think it's called. And so from there, they told us, basically 3 healthy, viable for life embryos. And so, of course, our doctor, you know, I'm so glad we relied on them, because, you know, you just go in with so many misconceptions of how things should be. And I see so many gay men do this. They're like, we want twins.
Right.
And now I'm like, thank God I didn't do twins. But
it's so
also
hard.
For my mom's health, she was like, she's like, no, one
that
embryo.
Would have been a lot.
We want one embryo, and we want one child, and we want one healthy pregnancy. And so we did one embryo. And it worked.
Wow.
So you got 2 more on ice.
Yeah. Well, we have 3. One of them was marked as unverified. Right. So I don't really know what that means, but like, we don't know. But yeah, we have
all girls.
All XX.
Oh.
So we didn't even have to choose gender.
Yeah,
like,
you didn't have to make
embryos,
any decision. You
know?
You just
none, which was so nice.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, we weren't going to, but I only want girls. I only like girls. I hate boys. So in my whole time, I was like manifesting like a girl, and I just love it. I love women. I think they're healers. I think they're the future. I think it's what we need. But then I was like, oh, I feel kind of weird, like playing that God role of like choosing the gender. Right. And so then I told them, I was like, we don't want to make that decision. Just choose, you know, the best embryo, or to make it be random. And then they're like, well, you won't be choosing because they're all exact.
You never
know. I'm a goddess creator.
You know, she's a girl now. Who knows though, in the future? You just never know.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
You really don't.
For sure. Absolutely.
A girl until she tells us otherwise.
Yes, exactly.
Do you guys know, are you going to do, I mean, you have a couple more. Are you thinking, like, how old is your daughter now?
She'll be 2 in March.
Are you thinking about, like, finding another surrogate?
We definitely do want to have at least one more child, but we're actually in the process of making some big life changes. We want to, like, travel. We sold our house this summer, and we're currently living with some friends, and we're planning to do full-time travel for the next potentially a year. And we really want to figure out where we want to end up and where we want to raise our family. So we want to just explore how other people are living this year, and then hopefully in that process find a way to start, you know, our next adventure of having another child.
So we're really open because we're traveling
the whole world, or the pandemic,
if it's allowed,
if COVID allows, we plan to do like an around the world trip over like 7 or 8 months.
We just really want to be intentional, and I think having a child forces you to be like, what's the reality that I want to accept? And I think we're questioning everything. We're questioning, how do we live off of the land, and how do we eat, and what do we, how do we feel about education right now? And so many of these big systematic things, I think a lot of people are questioning from the pandemic, And things that were once seen as really radical and wild aren't, you know, we're really looking at things like commune life, or what was the terminology you just heard the other day?
Revillaging.
Yeah, revillaging.
We really want to raise our children in community. And I feel like, especially during the pandemic, we realize like how isolated of lives we all kind of live. And I think we really see the value in living, yeah, with a community that is helping us raise our children, and who Uma's around other adults that can, you know, influence her, especially being two dads, two men, like having women in her life, you know, I think is a big value for us. So.
Well, and I think that the pandemic's just allowed us to not buy into a lot of things that we felt like you had to buy into. And so anyway, that's what we plan to do. And we want to have another child, but we also, like right now, we're helping one of my childhood best friends get pregnant. She identifies as queer, lesbian, you know, I don't know, it's a little bit ambiguous. And she's married to a trans individual, so they need help. And so we're just doing like a at-home IUI. And she'll be able to get pregnant much easier and much cheaper. And so then we've been discussing, it's like, yes, we do have these embryos, but, you know, we also could just like, maybe a friend will come around and be like, you can do that. And I'll, you know, I don't know. And it would be so much cheaper. I just like, it's wild to me that even with those shortcuts, if you, if you will, for lack of a better word, it was still so expensive. Mm-hmm. It's such a business and it's so crazy. Yeah. And I don't know. So we're trying to manifest maybe something that aligns a little bit even more with our.
Yeah, not navigating that like system again, but finding something that feels a little more organic if it can.
But we do have this weird ethical decision of like, what do we do with those embryos? You know, and we personally speaking are vehemently, you know, pro-choice, right? And but I didn't anticipate feeling such a responsibility of this life that we have created. Right. And so we've offered to our lesbian friends if they ever want a child, you know, and but we're in this weird place where it's like, do you just donate them to anybody, or is it to someone you trust and know? Is it someone you love? And so that's a discussion that we still need to navigate.
So many decisions, so many, so much intentionality, so many decisions. I mean, you guys are really, really illustrating everything we go through as LGBTQ families just to be in the world.
You two are so laid back, but the conversation in and of itself is intense because there's so much in what you're saying. So I'm just finding myself being like leaning in, you know, listening, because there's so much in what you're saying. You're tackling so many different fronts, like you, the way you did to have Uma, but then even like how you want to live your life, and then how you want to have your next kid, and like how you're helping someone else. It's like, there's so much around you too. And I just, our listeners, this is audio versus video, but what you can't see is that the two of them look at each other. You have a 2-year-old.
Love each other.
Is not an easy time, and they look so lovingly at each other as they're speaking. And like, I know, and you're just like, it looks like you're like intently listening to each other. Jamie and I are like talking over each other.
We're
like
not
idiots.
A couple, but still.
I mean, I think we definitely, our relationship is founded out of creativity, because it's how we met and it's how we tap into, I think, a higher source of love. But I think as of late, I think from the pandemic, we have committed to like, oh, we want to invest in each other.
You know, we became parents, and then we were both working, and we work opposite schedules. Like, he's a teacher and I work nights and weekends. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, we were just together and we were like, whoa, like, we feel really happy together. And we feel really happy spending all of our time together with our daughter. And so we want to invest in creating a life where we get to do that as much as possible.
Yeah. You're going to be the most amazing dads. You're so thoughtful, and I'll say it again, intentional, and you're fucking beautiful. So we need more of you in the world. We need more parents like you.
Well, I think that's why we need to let, you know, when we talk about the injustices that are blocking queer couples, and I think particularly queer couples that aren't rich, you know, it's a socioeconomic thing, and people are really capable of love. And the thing that's been so neat is for so long, I had been conditioned and we have been conditioned that we can't or shouldn't have kids. And for me, I'm going to get emotional, but like having a child has been the most rewarding thing, because it's taught me that I am so full of love and I'm worthy of love. And it's such an injustice to not provide opportunities for unconventional queer couples to be able to do that. And the more that we can create an environment where it's encouraged and it's celebrated, because kids that come from queer parents, we are not perfect, but we want the kid. Like, we didn't accidentally make this happen. Like, we really worked for it. And I think that that speaks volumes in itself, that that child is born into the world because people want him or her or they.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. God, thank you so much.
So good.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I don't know. There's so much in it. Jamie and I will be talking about this for days.
I think we're going to talk about you guys a lot.
We've committed to being like storytellers. So that's what we're trying to do is like the way we want to build our family is to just be as visible as possible and share our story and see what opportunities come. And so at
the period dirt,
D-U-R-T period family.
Yep.
So we'll be sharing as we go along and hopefully travel the world and make some of these decisions that we're kind of navigating.
I love this.
Thank you guys so much for joining us.
You guys are so wonderful. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Oh, those Jamie. Those gentlemen. I just love
Did
them.
Did you see how they stared at each other so lovingly during the whole interview? It was like filled with love.
They're so compassionate with each other. You just see it in their eyes. It makes me feel like I'm such a bad wife.
I know. I'm a bad wife. I'm a bad person. I don't think there's anyone I listen to like that.
They're really wonderful. And their pictures are gorgeous, which...
I know. And they're like out in the wild and doing cool stuff. They're just... I love those two.
Also, we got a really great clip from Matt's mom talking about her experience of carrying her grandchild for her son. And I think we should just take a listen because it's going to melt your heart.
Play it, Helen.
Helen, roll the tape.
Okay, Mom. Why did you choose to be a surrogate for me and Elliot?
The reason I offered to be a surrogate was at the time when Matt was telling us their original surrogate had hypertension and there were some health risks maybe involved. I just felt at that time that I was healthy and I had the time and the resources to do it, that if I was a candidate and if they were willing to go and move forward on it, I would certainly like to volunteer and give it a try. Knowing the benefits of what I was doing was something that was not necessarily for me, but to pay it forward to someone that is so deserving to be a parent. It was just cool to know that I was going to be able to give you a gift that was something that was very special and deserving to you too. And that alone just was very fulfilling. The moment I handed Uma over to you guys was one of the special memories I will hold dear to me forever. It was just that magical moment of, as a parent, you would do anything to help your children, or you want to make your children's life easier to make sure that they're always happy. And I knew at that moment, once I handed over Uma to them, and I saw how happy they were and emotional they were and ecstatic over this little baby, to be able to be the one that gave them that gift was so rewarding and so fulfilling. Like I said, I'll always cherish that moment, special place in my heart that will always be.
Even their mom is amazing.
I know. They're good people.
Right, you just knew she would be lovely. I mean, she carried a baby for her son. You just knew she'd be lovely.
Of course. She's one of those unicorns they talk about. She's a unicorn person. She's lovely.
All right. Well, listen, before we leave you,
we
have a
leave
podcast.
You.
We should leave you.
We should leave
But we
you.
Have a podcast we want to recommend. We just came across this awesome frigging podcast.
Yes.
And Jimmy, tell them a little bit about
it. Well, it's called Three Righteous Mamas. And they're lovely. They're three moms, all from very different backgrounds. And they interview important guests who are working to change the world. And in the beginning, it's really nice because they have like all this banter back and forth about what they're doing as moms and taking their son to daycare. And he was crying. You know, I just like to hear moms talking about how hard momming is sometimes. And so they cover all the bases. And it's a good conversation. It's a good podcast. But we have a little clip that we should play for you so you can get a feel for the podcast.
All right. Let's play it.
Looking for a new podcast? We recommend you check out Three Righteous Mamas, where three all-American moms who are Latina, Muslim, and queer talk about the issues of the day with some of the biggest changemakers and thought leaders in our world. These three mamas are on a mission to transform our country and celebrate the power and hope of pissed-off mamas who are building a better future for all our children. There's no podcast like it. So check it out on whatever platform you use to get your podcasts.
So folks, don't forget, we've got a book out there, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. And it is available at all major retailers. If you want to get it locally, check IndieBound. But you're going to want to get it soon because it's a New York Times bestseller and it's going to sell out everywhere,
Jamie. Keep saying that, Robin. Keep saying that.
I'm putting it out into the universe because we're gonna be on Oprah. Oprah's gonna come back.
Oprah.
She's gonna bring her show back for one episode only just to have us on to talk about
her
book.
Come talk to us. Oprah, I wanna talk to you so bad. I love Oprah.
And you can get the audiobook if you want us to read to you. Mm-hmm. That's available at Amazon and iTunes. And don't be afraid to rate and review the book on Amazon or Goodreads.
And the
if you
podcast.
Like.
Rate and review it everywhere. Every single place you can rate and review, go for it.
Do all the things.
We like that.
Do all the things. Uh-huh.
And let's just keep this conversation going because I think people have heard way too much of us.
Too much.
Too much. It's way too much. So join us on the social. We are all over it. We are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We are If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, where you can see recordings of our live streams, which we talked to you about earlier in this episode. And those are on Facebook every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and on YouTube. And you can support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And that's where you're going to get that bonus content that you're going to love so much.
And thank you to our sponsor, Generate Life Sciences. And a big thank you to all you Patreons who are helping us make this show. We thank you.
We thank you so much.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.